Saram, dear listeners, and welcome to the 8th episode of Utsaha, the youth hour on Radio Sai for all those who have that energy, the drive, the inner push to work for the Lord, to serve the Lord, to celebrate the Lord in their lives. And for all those who want to make a positive difference around us with the only intention of making Sai smile, living for only His glory and His joy. Joy reminds me of that beautiful definition Swami once gave of this lovely word, joy, Jesus or God first, O others next, and why, yourself last. This is what Bhagwan said is the secret of joy, the secret of happiness lies in our priorities. If we make God priority one in our lives, we would be priority one for God too. And once this is sorted, everything else automatically gets sorted in our lives, isn't it? As someone very beautifully said, if we repair our relationship, our connection with God, He will repair everything else. The relationship with everything else in our life. I remember the quote that meets you as soon as you step into the senior boys' hostel in Puttaparthi. It says, this is a home where each one lives for the other. And all live for God. How amazing such a home, such a society, such a community would be, isn't it? The students in Puttaparthi or Vrindavan are in this lovely zone on earth where they can see this in action. You can actually see how each one strives to live for the other, how one feels happy when the other person is happy, and how everyone gives up anything whatsoever when it comes to God. It's a love-suffused, God-intoxicated environment. And this is how Bhagwan designed it right from its initial days. In fact, the senior boys' hostel was inaugurated by Bhagwan on a Christmas day more than 3 decades ago. The routine was set by Swami, the menu was checked by Swami daily, personally, the schedule was stipulated by Swami with strict injunctions about how it should be implemented. And it continues to function in that manner. So what is the hostel schedule actually like? How have the students benefited from it over these years? Let me play for you a short conversation that I had with Brother Sonam Gyamso from one of the earliest batches of students. He shared some of his reflections about the hostel life, how he took to it, and what that did to him. Saram, Brother Sonam, you are someone who had the chance to joined Bhagwan's hostel way back in the 70s. And the hostel had a pretty rigorous schedule then. And I think the whole discipline aspect of the hostel started way back in the 70s, even before the university came into being in the early 80s. And Bhagwan was very particular about the schedule and the routine of the boys. So how was it then? And how did you take to it? Was it too demanding? Did you take to it easily? And what were the outcomes?
Well, before I joined Swami's institute, I was preparing myself, or I would say Swami was preparing me for the institute life, the hostel life. So the whole preparation started right from the summer course. And I was preparing myself, imagining how the students might be living there. And I had become a pure vegetarian. I was a vegetarian.
So you were not before?
Earlier by birth, by default, I was not a vegetarian. But then when the thought was planted in me by beloved Bhagwan that I should study in his institute, when I became his devotee, in fact, right from that time onwards, I took to vegetarian cuisine, vegetarian food, and it was a wonderful blessing. Then I used to live a very Spartan life, even at home, because I knew that that is what was actually in store for me. when I would eventually join his college. So when I entered the portals of Vrindavan, I didn't find anything difficult or rigorous, because I come from a farmer's family. And in the village, we wake up very early. So early to bed, early to rise. We never had those things that normally keep you awake, that keep you awake today. And till midnight, you know, you burn the midnight lamp. So we don't have those things. By 9 o'clock, we go to sleep. The elders go to sleep around 8 o'clock, then wake up very early. So that was again nothing new for me. So I took to the entire routine of the hostel like a fish taking to the waters, you know. It was so simple. Then I took it upon myself to wake up everyone for Suprabhatam, because I saw that there was a slot for that. So ringing the bell for Suprabhatam.
Oh, you used to ring the bell?
Yeah, I used to ring the bell for Suprabhatam. And I still cherish some of those notes. In fact, I have kept all those notes with me. Boys would write small chits. Brother, I'll be sleeping underneath that place. So they would really pinpoint the place there where they would be sleeping. And then I had to go in the morning and wake them up.
Oh, so you're the human alarm.
Yeah, I was like a human alarm. So those chits, I really cherish those chits, and I have kept them with me even now, as, you know, for old time's sake, for good memory. So that was a wonderful thing that I started doing, and there were 4 Parijat trees in the quadrangle of the hostel. So I used to pluck flowers from there, jasmine flowers, you know. All of us, we are given that one cupboard and one living area. So my cupboard was an altar. So I used to keep all my clothes in my suitcase, and then the whole cupboard was an altar. And So I understood the value of garnishing, or I would say, you know, embellishing your altar, because that is what actually is there in your heart also. Your heart is your altar. So the more embellished, the cleaner it is, the better. So I used to do my puja there, and for following the routine of the hostel, I was amply rewarded. There was a time when Swami called me, and I was just in my first year pre-university and a few months into the hostel. And then Swami asked me, how is everything, kaisa hai, you know. And this is how he spoke to me. Kaisa hai hostel life, khana achha hai ki nahi? Mm-hmm. Then I said, khana bahut achha hai Swami. And then Swami said, is it very hot? And do you get to drink milk at night? So many questions. Your welfare, you know. And ultimately, he said, what do you do in the hostel? So I was extremely excited. I said, Swami, I wake up very early in the morning. And then what happens? I said, Swami, I ring the bell. I do Suprabhatam every day, Swami. Swami said, every day you do Suprabhatam? I said, yes, Swami, I participate in Suprabhatam wholeheartedly. And then Swami said, okay, then what about Nagar Sankirtan? I said, Swami, we all lead the Nagar Sankirtan. And those were the days when we used to go out of the campus and into the nearby villages like Kadugudi and the other side, Sigehalli, and then sing bhajans. After Nagar Sankirtan, we would come back to the ashram on Thursdays and Sundays. And then we would enter the gates of heaven, that is Swami's bungalow. And then Swami would come out on the balcony. And, you know, it used to be just the break of dawn. There wouldn't be enough light to see Swami's face. But then you could see the aura around Swami.
Wow.
Yeah, and Swami would be swaying to our bhajan. And the last bhajan used to be in full gusto. And then Swami would be swaying to the bhajan. And then Swami would, from there, he would gesture for Mangal Aarti. And we would offer Mangal Aarti and Jai Bolo Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba Ki Jai. And what a wonderful way to start the day. And then I said, Swami, I do Nagar Sankirtan also. I participate in everything. Swami said, how much do you talk? Because by nature, by default, I am very talkative. So I said, Swami, I have just curtailed it, Swami. I talk very less. Swami said, what's the point? Meter is always on. Volume is down.
Oh,
volume is down. Meter is on. So I said, Swami, I do this. And I was really gushing out with so many things that I am, my achievements in the hostel. Of waking up, following the routine.
Just towards the end of the first year?
Yeah, no, it was in the middle of my first year. Then singing bhajan, practicing in the music room, everything I kept telling Swami. And then Swami said, very particularly, are you on time for lunch and dinner? Or do they have to wait for you? So I said, Swami, on time, Swami. All of us, we go on time and have our lunch, dinner. Then all of a sudden, Swami smiled at me and said, now you have become a good human being.
Oh.
Not even good. He said, now you have become a human being.
Wow.
You know, imagine I was expecting a big pat from Bhagwan to tell me that, oh, you do that. In fact, I said to Swami, Swami, I have become very spiritual. This is how I began.
Okay.
I said, Swami, I have become very spiritual. Swami said, what's happening? What are you doing? And how's your progress? So I told Swami, Swami, I have become very spiritual. And that is where Swami asked me, tell me how have you become spiritual? Tell me what do you do? Then I kept telling Swami all these, and at the end of it, Swami said, now you have become a human being.
You have not become spiritual, you have become a human
yeah,
being.
Yeah, you are just a human being. This is the starting point. Now you start living like a human being. That was a beautiful injunction from Bhagwan.
In your first year itself.
In my first year itself.
Yeah, and this is something that Bhagwan defined to you. What is sadhana actually? Sadhana is all about removing all those instincts of the mind and replacing them with the watches of the heart.
Yeah.
Basic thing is to get over all these kama, krodha, lobha, etc.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, definitely.
And so, many times Bhagwan says that, you know, doing bhajan and study circles, that is not spirituality. That is just good time pass.
Yeah.
So here Bhagwan was so clearly telling you that, you know, all that you did, this is what is the minimum thing you have to do as a human being.
Minimum
now
thing.
Try to do become divine.
In fact, on some other occasion, here in Prashanti Nilayam, I can't exactly tell you the date and year, but then I remember these things very clearly when Swami said that everyone is going through a process of evolution. Have no doubt that you are very evolved.
Mm-hmm.
It was a salvation moment for all of us in the bhajan hall. Swami said, everyone is evolving. So you have evolved from a rat to a snake, from a snake to from all these inferior, you know, organisms.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have become a human being. So there has been a constant, you know, up.
Mm-hmm.
You have been constantly evolving yourself. There has been an evolution. And then, now you are the crest jewel of this creation. My creation.
Wow.
And then the pinnacle is Godhood.
There I think when Swami said that now you are human being, so now you are less of a rat or less of
exactly. In fact,
dog.
Yeah, in fact, on the first occasion Swami also told me, pehla kaisa tha, kabhi rat, kabhi snake.
Oh, he told
kabhi,
me.
Yeah, he said, kabhi rat, kabhi snake, kabhi dog. Human banna hai. You know, that's what Swami said. And how many, like hours on end he would spend, he would invest on every student.
Mm.
Because, you know, it was so evident that what was of prime concern to Bhagwan was the individual.
Yes.
And the individual's transformation.
Yes.
And nothing more.
Nothing
like
else matters.
Like, in fact, if you ask me about what might have been the various missions of Bhagwan, in fact, no mission at all. The only mission has been the transformation of the individual and his redemption.
Swami said, I am not a missionary.
He is not a missionary, definitely. There is no mission at all.
Amazing. Yeah. And Swami also was very particular that the students follow this routine when they go back homes during vacation, isn't it?
Yeah, from vacation when I came, once this is what happened here in Prashanti Nilayam. Swami asked, now that you are back from vacation, did you practice all that you practice here in the hostel? Did you continue doing that back there?
This is during your graduation or much later?
Post-graduation.
Post-graduation.
Yeah, in the 80s, around 82 or something. So I said, Swami, I practice everything. Just I live the same life there, Swami.
And you really did?
I did it.
Oh.
In front of Bhagwan, you can never bluff and, you know, get through, get past him. I said, Swami, I really have practiced it every day.
So you used to get up early in the morning.
So waking up early in the morning, even till this day, there is no doubt about, you know, I live the same life that I lived in the hostel. For me, there has been no transition, no change at all. Like I live, time has frozen for me. Because that is the life that Swami had designed for you so beautifully, majestically. And I have seen over the years that this is the life that makes you a successful human being.
Yes.
In any endeavor in your life, whether you become a CEO of a huge company or whatever, maybe the Prime Minister of the country. But if you practice this regimen, you are successful. And those who are not successful are those, I am 100% beyond doubt, I am telling you, who are not practicing this regimen. It's so beautifully charted out by Bhagwan. And it's not only a rule in the hostel, but something that is related to a very successful life.
Yes. So, when you mentioned to Bhagwan that you followed everything, did Bhagwan pat you?
No, I said, Swami, I do everything. Then he started telling me one after another, do you do Suprabhatam there also? Did you eat non-vegetarian food? Because, you know, the omnipresent master, the omniscient master, knows it very well, that there are people who might go home and again take to a little bit of non-veg also, because again back to Vrindavan or Prashanti Nilayam, you have to fall back on your vegetarian diet, you know. So, keeping those things in mind, but without telling us exactly, without telling anyone, no reproach on the part of the Divine, he was just telling me, did you eat non-vegetarian food when you go home? So I said, no, Swami, I'm a vegetarian. And then Swami said, did you abuse people or fight with people? Because here in the hostel, you don't do that. There is no chance for you to do that. Because there is a beautiful environment in the hostel wherein we care for each other. There is so much empathy in the hostel. But I said, no, Swami. So I kept telling, Swami asked me a few more questions like that. And then Swami said, maintain it. I was waiting for the pat from Bhagwan again, for Swami to tell me. Swami said, very good, maintain it.
Yeah. That's it. He did not lift you and said, you see, here is a good boy. Here is the kind of boy I wanted. He's an ideal.
Never. Because you can falter any moment.
Yes.
We can tumble down any moment, any time. Because we are so fragile. Mm. So every moment, constant vigilance, you know, constant vigil we have to keep. And unless we are careful about that, we can, any moment, 1 second of mistake and complacence, and everything gets destroyed. So Swami said, maintain it. So maintaining it is so difficult.
Yes. But I think as you begin to maintain it, you also enjoy the benefits of it so much that
exactly.
You, after a while, you become addicted to maintaining it.
Exactly, exactly.
And perhaps you are at that stage now where, you know, you love what you are doing.
Yeah, by now it has become the default thing.
Mm.
It's a part of your life. This is how you live.
Yes.
Your life is this, you know. So it's so beautiful.
Amazing. So the hostel and, you know, being a Sai student, not only in your words and thoughts, but in your very activities during the day, the physical activities also.
I think that is something fantastic.
And I think everything begins with discipline. You cannot achieve anything in life without discipline. And with discipline and then the determination to follow that discipline, I think when both are there, then the devotion and everything else happens.
Sure. And you keep getting bonuses from Bhagwan, you know.
Yes.
When you really follow the regimen, and it's happening even today.
Mm.
Wherever there are people who are following his commandment for their own good, and then he keeps manifesting signs of his grace, and these signs are sometimes so tangible, you can almost see it. For me, it happened so many times. In my first year degree, I had a senior there who used to do a lot of Ganapati puja. So I had secretly cherished this desire that, you know, I wish Swami would materialize a Ganapati and give me.
Mm-hmm.
And on Saturday, you know, Saturdays used to be self-reliance day. So we were cleaning up the hostel. And down there in the basement. So in the basement, we were cleaning up the storeroom. There was a storeroom. We were cleaning it up. Later on, that room became a bakery and so many things, you know. So I was cleaning it up, and there, beneath, buried in the debris of so much dust and filth, was a Lord Ganapati.
Oh, wow.
And that Ganapati was made of Panchaloha, Panchadhatu.
Wow.
Exactly what I had cherished, what I had wanted. So I got it, and the second thought was that if I lift it from here, it might tantamount to thieving, you know. So maybe I should take permission. But then no one owned it. And it was just lying there in the dust. So I asked my senior, who was my inspiration. He was Yogi Nanda Kumar. So I asked him, do you think there is a Ganapati do you think it's meant for me that I should take it? Because I have been desiring for one. He said, it's for you. There's no doubt about it. Otherwise, it's for the dust. So I said, I better take it, you know. So I took it to my cupboard, washed him. And then after washing him, I wanted to put it on a pedestal. So I got a small katora, a small ball like thing, a stainless steel ball. So I overturned the ball and it became a pedestal for me. So if you come home to Sikkim, even today I worship my Lord Ganesha on the same pedestal. Wow. So I placed the Ganesha on that pedestal and then I did my first little bit whatever I knew. I said that, Shuklam Vardaram, all that I said. And then right that evening during darshan, Swami called me. And sometimes Swami used to call me Dry Fish, and you know, that was my pet name for Swami. And he called me and said, how is Ganapati?
Oh, wow.
And I said, I was stunned, you know. I said, Ganapati is beautiful, Swami. Worship it. Small injunctions, you know, worship it. Because you have desired for it, then you have to worship. If you desire for God, you have to worship Him. Mm. You know, as simple as that.
He gave it
to me.
Now you have to keep up.
Yeah, now you have to keep up. You have to maintain it. You know?
Yeah.
And He taught me Laghu Puja of Lord Ganapati in the later years. In 3 installments, He taught me and I do the Puja as per His injunction, how He had taught me. That system of doing Puja was only meant for me, the easy way out.
Mm.
So I do it very diligently, even today.
Amazing. And it is all because of that blessing and that zeal to follow whatever is laid down in the hostel.
Exactly.
And, you know, things keep happening.
Yeah. Because our hostel is a very special hostel. You know, this is the only hostel in this world where students don't really face the brunt of any disparity, economic disparity or racial or, you know, no apartheid in the hostel. In fact, one of our students, he had just done his MBA. And, you know, when you are really endowed with a lot of talents in the hostel, merit counts here, not your background, not whose son you are, you know.
Correct.
But it's only purely on merit. So this person was a very purely on his own merit. He was a very good in music, very good in sports, so good in so many things. So ultimately he was almost being hero worshipped by the rest of humanity there. And in his room there was another person who was his cupboard mate. Sometimes he used to tell him, why don't you go and get me a cup of tea, you know. You know, order around. You could do that, you know, when there are people hero worshipping you. So after his MBA, he was looking for job everywhere. And in Bangalore, in Brigade Road, in hot summer, he was standing there waiting for a bus. And his friend came, driving a very expensive car. And then he just zoomed past this person. And he just saw him. And he was shocked. Because it was his friend whom he used to order around, you know. And his friend reversed the car and brought it there. And then he looked at him and said, are you looking for some conveyance? Why don't you hop in? So he got into the car and he said that, yeah, I'm going to Majestic. But you tell me, whose car are you driving? Because it didn't register in him that this person might be the proprietor, the owner of this car, you know, might be so rich. He said, whose car are you driving? Are you a driver sort of thing, you know, a chauffeur? So he said, I'm driving my own car. What's the big deal? He said, my God, don't tell me. He said, yes. And then he felt very small. Right at that moment, he felt type of complex developing in him, you know. Then his friend told him, don't act like that. Don't feel that way. I know what you are feeling. You are still the same hero whom I have always hero worshipped. We come from Swami's Institute. And you please don't feel that way. Don't make me feel bad. Tell me what were you doing and what's your game, what's your plan? He said, I'm looking for a job. He said, can I offer a job in my company? So he was offered a job in his company. He said, done. And he also told him that I'm staying in West End Hotel and I went there and did a very big business deal and came and very successfully, and I'm in such high spirit. And then I met you, and where else would I get person better than you for my company?
Wow, amazing. He was his cupboard mate and lived with me for so many months and years.
Yeah.
But he never ever knew that other brother also never ever let anyone know that he actually comes from such
no a clue about it. Yeah. And because that is the atmosphere, the environment, enabling environment created by Bhagwan in the hostel, wherein everyone, that samatvam yoga uchyate, you become a yogi only with that equanimity. So that feel of equanimity, that environment of equanimity is there. It pervades the whole hostel. Where else in this world can you find a place like that? You know, where the environment is such that it's so conducive for your growth, for your personal development, for your integrated development. And these are things that are not taught to you. You know, there are no special lessons of integration, of becoming a very integrated person. But then you live, you imbibe the air. You drink in the air and the water of the hostel, and then this is what happens to you.
What happens in the classrooms is a very minuscule part of your life.
Very minuscule. It's just chemistry, physics and mathematics. But then, the interpretation of chemistry in the idiom of values.
Yes.
This is what happens because teachers are saturated with that. Teachers might have all different ways of explaining or, you know, teaching. But the learning process is so strong. On one side, there is the teaching process wherein you learn chemistry and physics and mathematics and sociology. But on the other side, the amount that you imbibe, that you learn from the air,
yes,
that is so strong.
It's a man-making university.
It's a man-making university. It's a special place. And Swami has kept the hostel, the whole institute, so small. In fact, one day, the Vice-Chancellor, Professor Saraf, was asking Swami, Swami, why can't we invite more students and make the institute big? Swami said, that's not the idea. This is just a role model. It's like Noah's Ark, you know? Wherein, Swami didn't say Noah's Ark, I'm adding it. But Swami said, it's a model. And then for people to emulate. So people can have universities with thousands and thousands and thousands of students. But then the environment should be this. So here the idea is not to proliferate the number of students. The idea is to create that environment. So we are doing that here. So abide by that.
Yes. This is the proof of concept.
Yeah.
That it works.
Yeah, exactly.
And it can be replicated.
It can be replicated. Exactly.
And it is being replicated now in so many schools.
Yeah.
All over India and the world. To whatever extent it can be replicated, there are so many people doing it. It's really so heartening, and I think it's so important to go back all the time and go back to the roots of why the system is like this.
Exactly.
And understand its importance.
Yeah.
And then explain the significance and the methodology to take it forward.
Sure.
For others.
Definitely.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you so much. Jai Sai Ram.
So that was Brother Sonam Gyamso from Sikkim, and very beautiful incidents and illustrations of what the hostel environment does to anyone who steps into it and stays in that environment as a student. There are multidimensional ways students' personality gets shaped living in the hostel designed by Bhagwan. Yes, the schedule is a bit tight, sometimes it may be rigorous, but one has to. Because as Brother Sonam said, everyone has to get up early. You not only have to get up early, you also have to be in time for jogging, for morning prayer, for lunch, for dinner, for evening bhajans, study hours, night prayer. It's an endless list of things, the endless to-do list. One after the another in the hostel, right from dawn till dusk until the night prayer. And Swami was very particular that all the students conform to this schedule, even if they are doing their postgraduate studies, even if they are doing their PhD, Swami wanted that as far as possible there should be no compromise in this routine. At times it may seem a bit challenging, but actually it is very much doable. It is very much doable in a hostel where there are no distractions of TV or incessant social media alerts and mobile phones. And Bhagwan, perhaps for that reason, insisted on it. In fact, Swami talked about it so many times, especially when he gave discourses to students in the colleges or during his visits to the hostel. He emphasized on discipline. As they say in the hostel, the medium of instruction in the hospital is discipline. And the three languages are love, service and sadhana. But everything has discipline as the basis. In fact, Bhagwan gives so many discourses to the students. In 1996, there was a whole series of discourses, especially for the students, and one of them was on discipline. Just to give you a glimpse of how it was and how Bhagwan used to stress on this, here is just a short clip and then we'll deliberate more with more illustrations.
తెల్లవారి లేచిన మొదలుకొని రాత్రి పరుణమంత వరకును ప్రతి కర్మ కూడాను క్రమశిక్షణను పాటించాలి.
Therefore, right from the time you get up from the bed until you go back, you should follow discipline.
కానీ ఈనాటి మానవులకు క్రమశిక్షణ అంటే ఏమిటో తెలియదు.
But in the present day, no one knows what discipline is.
ఇంతే కాక ఇంద్రియ నిగ్రహం అంటే ఏమో పూర్తి తెలియదు.
They have no knowledge of sense control either.
ఈ senses control చేయాలి.
One has to
కన్నులు చూస్తున్నాయి ఎక్కడో.
Eyes see somewhere.
కాని కన్నులకు బుద్ధి చెప్పాలి.
But you should teach your eyes.
ఓ నేత్రమా,
ఓ ఐ,
నీవు దేని చూస్తున్నావు?
What is it you see?
నీ విధమైన చెడ్డ దృష్టి చూడకూడదు.
You should not have bad looks.
See no evil, see what is good.
See no evil, see what is good.
Talk no evil, talk what is good.
Talk no evil, talk what is good.
Hear no evil, hear what is good.
Hear no evil, hear what is good.
Think no evil, think what is good.
Think no evil, think what is good.
Do no evil, do what is good.
Do no evil, do what
this
is good.
This is the way to God.
This is the way to God.
కనుక నీవు మంచిని చేయి.
So do
మంచిని చూడు, మంచిని చెప్పు, మంచిని విను, మంచిని తలచు.
Therefore, see good, do good and be good.
కనుకనే మనం మంచిని చేయాలంటే క్రమశిక్షణ ఒకటి పెంపొందించుకోవాలి.
You can be good by following discipline.
ఎవరెన్ని విధములుగా నిన్ను మాట్లాడించినప్పటికి నీ మాటలను కొంచెం అదుపులో పెట్టుకోవాలి.
Others may talk to you again and again, but you should have control over your talk.
Vidyarthulara,
students,
ఈనాడు
today
మృగములు పక్షులు కూడాను కొన్ని క్రమశిక్షణను పాటిస్తున్నాయి.
Today animals and birds follow discipline.
కానీ ఇంత చదువులు చదివి, ఇంత మేధాశక్తి ఉండి, ఇంత తెలివితేటలు ఉండి కూడాను మానవుడు ఈ విధమైనటువంటి క్రమశిక్షణను అనుసరించలేకపోతున్నాడు.
బట్ మ్యాన్ విత్ ఆల్ హిస్ ఎడ్యుకేషన్ ఇంటెలెక్ట్ అండ్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ ఈజ్ నాట్ ఫాలోయింగ్ డిసిప్లిన్.
చక్కగా మీరు బాగా వాచ్ చేయండి.
యూ వాచ్ వెరీ క్లియర్.
మీ హాస్టల్ దగ్గరనో కాలేజ్ దగ్గరనో కొన్ని కోతులంతా ఉంటాయి.
దేర్ ఆర్ సమ్ మంకీస్ ఆన్ ది వే యాజ్ యూ మూవ్ ఫ్రమ్ యువర్ హాస్టల్.
దినములకు ఒక గంట మౌనాన్ని వహిస్తాయి.
మంకీస్ అబ్జర్వ్ సైలెన్స్ ఫర్ 1 అవర్.
దినములకు 1 అవర్
మంకీస్ అబ్జర్వ్ 1 అవర్ పీరియడ్ ఆఫ్ సైలెన్స్ ఎవ్రీ డే.
సైలెంట్ మౌనం.
అబ్జర్వ్ సైలెన్స్.
పక్షులు కూడా అంతే.
బర్డ్స్ ఆల్సో సో.
ఒక్క గంట అంతా కూడాను అది మౌనాన్ని వహిస్తుంది.
1 అవర్ దే అబ్జర్వ్ సైలెన్స్ బర్డ్స్.
కానీ
బట్
ఈనాటి మానవుడు ఒక నిమిషం కూడా విశ్రాంతి తీసుకోడు.
నాట్ ఈవెన్ ఎ మినిట్ హీ టేక్స్ రెస్ట్.
ఊరికి డోరు వాగినట్టుగా వాగుతుంటాది నోరు.
హీ గోస్ ఆన్ టాకింగ్, హీ గోస్ ఆన్ టాకింగ్.
సైలెన్స్ అనేటువంటిదే లేదు.
నో సైలెన్స్ వాట్సోఎవర్.
ఎవరైనా సైలెంట్ గా ఉంటున్నారంటే వాళ్ళని గేలి చేస్తారు.
ఇఫ్ ఎనీ వన్ అబ్జర్వ్ సైలెన్స్ వీ మేక్ ఫన్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్.
అతను సైలెన్స్ ని ఫాలో చేస్తున్నాడు, మనము ఫాలో చేస్తాం అని ఎంత ఉత్సాహంగా ముందుకు రావాలి.
We should come forward with all the enthusiasm watching that man of the
Brahman te yavaru nishabdam brahma.
Who is Brahma?
Silence is the God.
Silence is God.
Adi nishabdamuloni shabdame brahma.
There is sound in silence, that is Brahman.
Chusara anta goppatanam untundadi ee yokka matalu yokka adupu lokala.
Therefore, when you control your talk, there's mighty things that
talk,
you can achieve.
Talk, not talk.
In talk, there's mighty things that you can achieve.
కనుక టాక్ ని కంట్రోల్ చేస్తున్నట్టుంటే అంతా మనకు కంట్రోల్ అయిపోతుంది.
సో వెన్ యూ హ్యావ్ ఎ కంట్రోల్ ఓవర్ యువర్ టాక్ యూ కెన్.
ఎందుకోసం దీనికి ఇంత పవర్ ఇచ్చారు?
వై సచ్ పవర్ ఇస్ గిఫ్టెడ్ దేర్.
కన్నులకు చూచే పవర్ మాత్రమే ఉంటుండదు, రెండవ పవర్ లేదు.
Eyes have got the power to see, not the
చెవులకు వినే పవర్ మాత్రమే ఉంటుందని ఇంకొక పవర్ లేదు.
Ears can only hear, no other.
ముక్కుకు వాసన చూచే పవర్ ఉంది కానీ రెండో పవర్ లేదు.
Nose can only smell, nothing else.
కానీ టంగ్ కు డబుల్ ప్రమోషన్, రెండు పవర్స్ ఉన్నాయి.
But the tongue has got two powers, double power.
Okati test chestundi.
One it tastes.
Inkoti matala maatladutundi.
Second it can talk.
Kabatti rendu shaktulu undi kanaka mottamoda deenini shaktiga undinatundi dani mottamoda control cheyali. Adupulo pettali.
As the tongue is so powerful, it must be put under control.
Ekku powerful ga untundi kanaka deenini mottamoda control cheyali.
As the tongue is more powerful, it should be kept under check.
Chaala mandiki telusunu pillaliki teliyakunda undachunu. Kaaru lopala naalugu tyres untayi.
Car has four tyres.
Mundu tyres ku gaali konchem ekkuvaga untadi.
The front tyres will have more of air.
Enaka tyre ku konchem takkuvaga untadi.
The tyres behind will have less of air.
Adhi okkatoni teliyinatundi vaadu naalugu tyres ku equal ga pump kottestaru.
A person who doesn't know will pump air equally among all the four tyres.
Adhi manchidi kaadu.
It's not good.
Ekkuvaga unnadani tagginchali.
If it is in excess, you should
konchem takkuvaga unnadani ekkinchali.
If it is less, you should increase.
So that's how Bhagwan goes explaining the importance of discipline and how silence is so important, how the eyes should know when to open and when to close, how the mouth should know how to restrain itself, and then finally about balance in life, how the four tires have to be in balance. That entire discourse in 1996 was a very beautiful elaboration on discipline. And Swami emphasized this time and again, just to impress on the students, how if they follow this, it will change their life for the better. Swami was expecting students to follow this discipline. And when you think about it, Bhagwan, he himself had followed this discipline all his life. In fact, if Bhagwan was asking students to get up early in the morning, Swami is the one who always was out of his bed very early hours in the morning. I have heard from Swami himself describe how he used to walk in his room for at least half an hour to 45 minutes before sunrise, because the body needs exercise and he cannot go out for a walk on the roads. So he used to do it in his room itself. I remember how for decades together one could set their watches according to Bhagwan's darshan timings. Swami was always out at 6:30 a.m. In the afternoons, 2:30 he would be there giving darshan. In fact, if you look at Bhagwan's life, even as a child he had a hectic and quite demanding schedule. As a young boy, when he was studying in the Kamalapuram school, every morning his job was to take a big pot and fetch water from the Krishna canal, which was 2 kilometers away. In fact, it would be 9 o'clock by the time he brought water. He would quickly have his breakfast, which would generally be leftover food of the previous night to be taken with salt and pickles. Similarly, it was a very tough routine when young Satya went later to Bukkapatnam school too. Bukkapatnam is about 4 to 5 kilometers from Puttaparthi across the Chitravati river, and Satya would walk this distance every day. And he would be well combed, wearing 2 dots, one of vibhuti and another of kumkum. Always clean, always neatly dressed. In fact, in his Kamalapuram days, after he returned from school, young Satya used to tie a towel around his waist and wash his school dress, as he had only one dress. And Swami was very particular that his dress is neat and tidy every day. So it has to be fresh and ironed. So every day he would wash it. And in those days there was no electric iron or even the rudimentary coal iron, which was there a few decades ago. So Swami used to iron his dress using an improvised contraption, which was basically a small burning charcoal inside a vessel. And that generated that heat needed to smoothen the creases. And if for any reason his dress tore, he didn't even have safety pins. But whatever Bhagwan had, he ensured that it is clean, it is tidy. And we know how in Uravakonda, Swami's water duty only increased. Now he had to get water 3 times in the morning and evening, carrying water pots hung on both ends of the pole to be borne on his shoulder. And he did this all without complaining, without questioning, without even telling his parents. He did it happily. He did it as his contribution to the family's welfare. He did it as his duty. In fact, this is what he told Mother Isharamma. It is my duty, Amma, to serve the members of the family. So now if you compare this with what the students go through in the hostel, the demands of their daily schedule, it is nothing compared to what the Lord Himself went through as a teenager. And He went through without any complaints, with complete acceptance, with full love. In fact, whenever Bhagwan asks us to do anything, whatever He asks us to do, it is all that He has done it and He has been doing. Whether it is sealing on desires, whether it is being punctual, whether it is not wasting time, energy, money, everything Bhagwan followed in His life. Everything that He advised His students or His devotees to do, He did it first. And this is what is reflected in the hostel too. And that is why anyone who goes through the life in the hostel, in some way is leading the Swami way of life. And when you lead that Swami way of life, you cannot but rise to a new life of order, peace, health, energy, happiness. And what is really interesting, as Brother Sonam mentioned, is so many students try to follow this schedule after they leave the university or the school, because after having tasted this, they don't want to leave it. In some ways, it becomes their way of life. You know, their bodies and their minds get tuned to that sort of life and schedule. But what is most interesting and really heart-touching is there are people out there who are not students but want to be students, and they do it by following this schedule in their lives. If it is youngsters who are doing it, you are only delighted because you know it will change their life for the better. In fact, I remember I too did the same. I tried to follow the hostel schedule even before joining Bhagwan school because I thought this is the way Swami would be impressed with me and would accept me in His school. So we find a lot of youngsters, a lot of Sai youth try to follow the schedule in the hostel. But what is really very moving is recently I met someone who in his 60s is following the hostel schedule. It was really so inspiring listening to this dedicated and enthusiastic Sai doctor from the US, Dr. Raj Shekhar, an accomplished anesthetist. He is past 65, but he wants to be a Sai student, and he does it by following the Sai way of life as a student in Bhagwan's hostel does it. Let's listen to why he does it. Let's listen to how he started doing it, and let's get a feeling of what he has got out of it. Dr. Raj Shekhar from the US. Saram and welcome Dr. Raj Shekhar to Utsah, the Youth Hour on Radio Sai. And it really gives me great pleasure to have someone like you speaking about Utsah, because you are someone who is perhaps so senior in the Sai organization, but someone who has so much of drive and enthusiasm to practice the routine that the students in the hostel follow. And that is something really fantastic. You know, once the students leave the hostel, they themselves sometimes find it so difficult to follow that kind of a lifestyle once they get into their corporate careers and, you know, building their homes and etc. But you are someone who has been so inspired to experiment with this routine at this age. So please share what inspired you to live like a Sai student, as a Sai student lives in the hostel, and how has this experience been?
Sai Ram Prasthi, first of all, I've been coming to Swami for a long time, but I always interacted with Swami students. I was so inspired by Swami students, their talents, their educational qualification, their humbleness. And I always used to feel that how lucky the Swami students are. And I knew that it was very unrealistic to expect me to be a Sai student at my age. Of course, now I am 67, but even 20 years ago, I had that desire, but I know it was unrealistic. It was because I already in practice in United States. Now, having said that, I am an ardent listener of Radio Sai. And one day I was listening to Radio Sai. I saw the schedule on Thursday Live. And I saw a segment on hostels schedule in Radio Sai. Then I knew all along that the hostel schedule is a very tight schedule for the boys. But I didn't know the details. So anyway, I started listening to that segment. And I was so impressed with the schedule and the way it was organized, and schedule was personally set up by Swami and in Vrindavan campus in the shed. And I followed every line, and I was so impressed why Swami arranged that schedule for the boys in perspective of health, for growing spiritually. And I thought this is something which it is doable. So I realized, and after listening to the segment, I just want to say that I listened to those three segments maybe more than 7-8 times.
Oh, wow.
More than 7-8 times, and I followed every bit of it. And each time I heard, there was always not only the schedule, the assurances given by Swami also impressed me. For example, the very first thing when the discussion I heard was, like, besides the timings and all, that Swami wanted, the only sadhana Swami wanted to do for the students is to follow the hostel schedule.
Yes.
Then I thought, so what is there in this schedule? So then later on when the boys explained in the program the schedule itself, and in relation being a medical doctor, it was so health related also. Then I realized the importance of the schedule, the Omkaram, why we have to do that, and then followed by Suprabhatam, which is, I always thought Suprabhatam was to waken the Lord. Then I learned from this program that it is basically you're trying to awaken the Lord in you. So that made much sense to me. And then I thought of doing this. That was the whole thing was so impressive. And then at the end of the, I don't recall the parts, but they were discussing about how Swami told the boys that the sadhana they do in the morning time is all good, and it is like a checking or savings account, and you can withdraw anytime you want. But the morning sadhana is such an important thing. It is like a fixed deposit, and he holds that with him, and whenever we need it, Swami will grant that grace. That also caught to my attention, and so I thought we have to follow that now. And one of the reasons also, maybe I heard on this program, other programs, but this said anyone can be a Swami student. It doesn't have to be a Swami student in the institute or in the college, but anyone can be a Swami student as long as he or she is following Swami's teachings. That also caught on to my attention. So that made me clear that I now, the age has nothing to do with it. Now I want to be a Swami student. And during the course of my visits to ashram, several times I used to see and feel, of course I was happy that, and I used to always think how lucky the Swami students are to either hold the Swami or talk to Swami and all that. But after listening to that segment on anybody can be Swami students, I got very much inspired, and I decided to do that, follow the schedule. And in 2016, January, me and my wife made a resolution actually that to follow Swami's schedule. The only thing was, since I was still working, we could follow that every day morning. We start off the program by 5:30 or 5:45. I have uploaded in my iPad morning Omkaram we do 21 times, followed by Sai Suprabhatam with the visuals which Radio Sai has provided on the internet, and followed by, I was thinking which one to put, either Vedam, because I do Vedam during my prayer time, but I thought maybe let us do Sai Astotram 108. So we added that one, and then followed by, just to make it like a 20-minute program as for the hostel schedule, 20-25 minutes, then I decided to do one song. There are so many songs that Swami's students composed, which are very nice, all are nice. But one day I was listening to a segment, the song, Humko Tumse Pyar Hai. And as the boys were discussing that this Swami liked this so much, and it comprises all three languages, Hindi, English and Telugu. And how Swami liked it so much, and they were saying that it's almost like an anthem in Swami's hostel or institute, wherever it is. So, and Swami liked it so much. So, I thought of putting that as an end of the program. I did that. And so, totally, it comes out to 20-25 minutes. And then, when I'm working, since I have to go back to my work, so I just take off to my work after my daily routine. And then come back and go on with other activities. Now, in the weekends, and we decided to do it no matter what, wherever we are, whether flying or traveling, I carry my book and iPad and we strictly follow that schedule. We have been following and we are praying every day that Swami, let this program continue till the last breath of my life.
You stick to the timing.
I stick to the timings. And then, no matter, even if you're flying, I put my alarm and except the time zones that may be different, but we are doing that. And we are praying ardently to have in grace from Swami that we continue this schedule. Now, since I'm retired full time, now it is easy for me because there is no agenda for me in the morning. So I'm just in front of Swami, I'm confessing that we are going to follow the same schedule. And now that will give me an extra, there is no agenda, so I can go on as your boys do, go on for exercise or treadmill, whatever it is, and then come back and do my meditation. So I'm going to do that. And after that, now I was thinking, like as Swami divided the tamasic or sattvic time 8 to 4 and rajasic time, again 8 to 4 and again sattvic time. So I was trying to see what I should be doing during the college hours where boys go and attend the institute or college. Now, if I'm into voluntary teaching for a long time, I teach students in Hyderabad and wherever I am, promoting health and other activities. Now, I thought if I have a schedule for that, that I consider as I'm going to go to college. If I don't have a schedule that way, I was going to incorporate like four periods. One is the bhajan classroom, which I always wanted to learn. There's a bhajan classroom and I have my keyboard. I would like to start off with that as one period in the college.
Okay.
Then I wanted to listen to Swami's discourse. That's another 45 minutes to an hour. That's two periods. Then later on, during the course of the day, maybe I would like to listen to Swami's students or Venkatraman sir's discussions or discourses, whatever it is. That's another period. So that makes it around three periods. And 1 hour or so, I wanted to allot for general spiritual reading. Maybe start off with Vahinis. Because it's all those things, books are lying with me. But because for lack of time, I was not able to do that. Now, since I'm retired, there's no agenda. I wanted to at least start off with these four periods during the time, in the morning or afternoon. And I would like to sincerely continue doing this. And I want to tell the audience that age is no bar. It is doable.
Wow.
It is very much doable as long as you have faith in Swami's words, which I think most devotees have. And that assurance which Swami has given should make people do this, follow the schedule. And to me, it is such a simple thing, but what a great assurance Swami has given that morning sadhana is the importance of doing morning sadhana in addition to doing other good works during the course of the day. So, having faith in Swami's words and such a profound statement Swami made, and I think it is doable. Only thing is it's individual commitment.
Yes.
And it also helps people to stay healthy.
Yes.
That is the other important thing. And as much as I am into health awareness and health promoting this lectures I give to the students, I think this is one of the best things Swami has designed for the boys and for everybody else who is listening to this program. And I tell all my younger generation the family members, just listen to the Swami's hostel schedule. I think if I'm right, that is in December 2015, three parts. But anyway, that is a very impressive schedule, and having the schedule set by Swami, what else you want? It's not set by anyone else. And the assurance is given by Swami, and the health reasons behind it, and the idea behind the schedule. It is very much doable. It all needs commitment, and the Swami, that's all it is, I can say.
Fantastic. Wonderful. All of us salute your enthusiasm and the drive to be a student. Doesn't matter in which stage of life you are in. And reflecting on the schedule, once you decide to get up early in the morning, you'll automatically sleep early in the night. And that solves a lot of problems. And regarding the assurances that you were mentioning, on one occasion Bhagwan mentioned how it is so important to stick to those times. And Swami said, if at an appointed time of the day, if you serve food to a dog, at that same hour, the dog will start looking at you, waiting for that day's quota. And Swami said, if the dog can be so tuned to the time, how much more it will be for God Himself, who will be waiting at that hour if you have made that commitment. Because God is all the time looking, waiting, when will we look at Him? And when we have made this commitment, He is all the time waiting for us to look at Him at that time and, you know, offer ourselves to Him. So it's really a fantastic effort, and I'm so grateful to you for actually coming to the studio and sharing this, and I'm sure it will inspire so many to experiment this in their lives and benefit from it.
And can I share one?
Yeah, please share.
While we are on this topic, I heard again from Swami students only. Like one time it so happened one boy did not come to the bhajan because of some other activity. Swami asked, how come you were not in the bhajan? And then he said, he explained the reason. But then Swami said, no matter where you are, you have to follow that. Then another student obviously asked Swami, what happens if we are traveling or some place? Then Swami said, no matter what, as Prishti explained about the dog and the G.O.D. God, same thing Swami told the students, that no matter where you are, whether traveling in bus or train, you just pick up at the time where you, when you do prayer, just close your eyes and think about Swami.
Yes.
And pray.
Exactly.
So that also another inspiration. So when I'm traveling, I carry a small book, and without disturbing anybody, I carry the book also. That way I don't have to play my radio or iPad. So that makes it easier. So I just want to let everybody know that it's a doable schedule. It is Swami's assurance, great assurance. It will help you grow spiritually, and it will also help you remain an active, healthy lifestyle. And as I said, it's not difficult task to wake up at 5:30, because if you sleep early, all we need is 7 hours of sleep. So I'll always go to bed right at 10 o'clock or so, make sure that 7 hours is there. And I don't watch TV at all, not much at all. I shouldn't say at all, but not much at all after listening to what Swami says. Television is television. So that helps also, going to bed early and getting up early. I don't feel tired. That I hope Swami will give me energy and grace for me to continue, for us to continue till the last breath of our
Wonderful.
Lives.
Thank you so much.
Thank you,
sir.
Sairam.
So that was Raj Shekhar, an anesthetist from the United States of US, who was just here for a few days recently. And when he saw me in the mandir, he just said, you know what, I'm so thankful to Radio Sai, because thanks to Radio Sai, I'm trying to follow the hostel schedule. And I was so excited because he was so senior, and he was saying that he's trying to follow the hostel schedule, and it just happened that he could come to the studio and we could do this conversation. Isn't this motivating, dear listeners? Everyone is in fact a Sai student. Everyone is Sai's student, because he is the divine master of all. And if we strive to become a Sai student in spirit, it will definitely bring a smile on his face. The life in the hostel is like a river, directed and protected on either side by two hedges. One is discipline and the other is prayer. And if we want to become a Sai student, I think these two aspects are vital in our personality. These two aspects should make our personality. The schedule in the hostel starts with a prayer and ends too with a prayer. We are all familiar with the Suprabhatam, the morning prayer, but I think not many are familiar with the night prayer. The night prayer also is very uplifting. So many of us actually do the Suprabhatam in the morning. Perhaps every Sai devotee tries to follow to get up early in the morning and do the Suprabhatam, but I don't know how many do the night prayer. In fact, if one goes to the Balvikas, then yes, you learn to do the night prayer, but with time, with our irregular sleeping habits, maybe we don't very diligently do the night prayer. But the night prayer, I think, is very powerful, because that is when we ask forgiveness for the Lord, and that is when we slip into the most beautiful part of our day, which rejuvenates us. Sleep. And if we go into it very peacefully, then we heal ourselves. We wake up ready, recharged for a brighter day. Let's listen to this night prayer. Then we'll talk a little more about it before we conclude Utsaha for today.
करचरणकृतं वा कायजं कर्मजं वा श्रवणनयनजं वा मानसं वा अपराधम् विहितं अविहितं वा सर्वमेतक्षमस्व जय जय करुणानिधे श्री साई देव शंभो श्री साई देव शंभो श्री साई देव शंभो असतो मा सद्गमया तमसो मा ज्योतिर्गमया मृत्योर्मा अमृतं गमया समस्तलोकाः सुखिनो भवन्तु समस्तलोकाः सुखिनो भवन्तु समस्तलोकाः सुखिनो भवन्तु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ साईश्वराय विद्महे सत्यदेवाय धीमहि तन्नः सर्वप्रचोदयात् ॐ साईश्वराय विद्महे Satya Devaya Dhimahi Tanna Sarva Prachodayat. Om Sai Ishwaraya Vidmahe Satya Devaya Dhimahi Tanna Sarva Prachodayat. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Jai Bolo Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba Ji Ki Jai.
Well, after the night prayer, you don't feel like actually saying anything, because you have just offered everything at the lotus feet of the Lord, have surrendered all your thoughts, words and deeds happened during the day, and you surrender at His feet unconditionally. When we do it with absolute submission, then we empty ourselves completely. And He takes us onto His lap. We slip into beautiful sleep, completely assured of His protection and grace on His lap. That is what prayer can do. That is why Mahatma Gandhiji said, prayer is the key for the morning and bolt for the evening. And this is what also governs, what governs the life of students in the hostel. Let's make prayer an integral part of our daily schedule, daily routine, daily way of life. That is what will ensure that we will always have that energy to work for the Lord, because the amount of energy that prayer can give, nothing else can give. It can help to unlock for us the infinite source of energy. That is how we can always be in utsah, be a youth all our life to do His work. Dear listeners, it's been a beautiful Thursday, and I want to leave you on these lovely thoughts. Thank you so much for being with us throughout the day and for this beautiful episode of Utsah. I offer my salutations to Bhagwan for this lovely chance of connecting with you and sharing His love. Let us offer ourselves at His feet and live in the bliss of His presence, basking in the joy of His love. Thank you so much. Sarah.